The season reflection, where Norwich finished 13th, I think points wise closer to the bottom three than the top six. You must be very disappointed.
Hugely, really frustrated. Yeah, not how we wanted the season to go, of course. So yeah, a lot of frustration here, a lot of disappointed people, because I look at the quality that we've got in the squad, and yeah, I feel like it's a big missed opportunity. I think we could have done something this year. And so, yeah, a lot of disappointment for sure.
You've obviously reacted to it before the end of the season and got rid of your head coach. Some fans will be asking why. Some will say, why the timing?
Yeah, look, there's obviously lots of lenses through which we'd assess head coach performance. And, yeah, ultimately the feeling, and I think all of the evidence was that the trend lines across those things were going in the wrong direction. And when we consider the performance of the team, you know, the performance and the individual development of our players, and then of course results, all of those things were trending in the wrong direction. And whilst that's the case, we need to take action, because we've got big ambitions and big targets here, and ultimately we need to move towards delivering those. So if the feeling is that we're going in the wrong direction, then we need to take action. And of course we know that with some decisions that we've taken, it's progress is never going to be linear, but across a good sample, you need to feel like, as I said, that progress is trending in the right direction, and ultimately it wasn't.
There was a lot of talk about whether this season was a project, it was a year of building. It wasn't necessarily about the top six, although top six ambitions were mentioned at different points during the season. So, and I know Johannes has come out in the media since and sort of said, well, as far as he was concerned, he was building for a longer term project than just this year. There were some of the reasons he felt he shouldn't have been sacked. As far as the club is concerned, as far as you're concerned, what was the ambition for this season, and hence why he got his marching orders?
Look, there was no ambiguity. This football club, regardless of context, regardless of head coach or sporting director or where we are in our cycle, this football club in the Championship will always target top six. That's just how it is. So that was always the target. But of course, that's not the reason why we've taken the decision that we've taken. If we would have missed out on top six, but we felt like in those other areas we were really moving forward and we were seeing progress and the team was getting stronger and looking better as the season went on, and our players were developing and moving forward and growing, then, you know, even if we'd have maybe missed out on top six, but we had that progress, we'd have had optimism to say, come on, we can really do this. But ultimately, those things weren't the case. And whilst that's how it was, we needed to take action, because, as I said, we've got big targets here.
As far as the head coach situation is concerned, obviously Jack Wilshere was in charge for the last couple of games and seems to do quite a good job. I mean, that was, a lot of people sort of said it was an audition for the job. Has he got it?
Look, Jack is a fantastic person, first and foremost. He and I have got a big history together. He's a great coach, and he's going to be a fantastic head coach. But that's not going to be here at this particular moment in time. So our search is focused externally.
How's he taken that news?
Yeah, look, of course, naturally disappointed. He's super ambitious and rightly so. He should be. But yeah, as I said, for where we are right now and the context, you know, we're focusing externally.
Would that have been the easy decision to make, if you like, because he's already here and you know him well and that's what he wants to do?
Yeah, I guess in a lot of ways. Like I said, we've got a big relationship. I know him so well, and of course the emotional part or the romantic part of me would love to make that decision, but kind of, you know, my job is to not get wrapped up in emotion and really try to make kind of, yeah, cool, objective decisions about trying to manage risk, and ultimately with that in mind, yeah, we're going to focus externally for our next head coach.
And for all those fans that are checking every news feed pretty much every 5 minutes to see whether it's happened, whether an appointment has been made, what sort of length of time do you think they're going to have to wait? Is this going to be a relatively quick turnaround? Do you expect in the next couple of weeks, or are you, you know, maybe taking your time to make sure you make the right decision?
Yeah, we'll take our time for sure. And I think, look, that was ultimately one of the benefits of taking the decision when we did, to make sure that we had the benefit of that time. But of course, we want to have somebody in as soon as we can, but without compromising the quality of our process and, of course, the quality of the candidate and finding the right person. So, yeah, it's not something that we expect to wrap up in a week or two, but as well, we don't want this to unnecessarily drag. We absolutely will have a head coach in place long before preseason starts. That's crystal clear. But yeah, we have a little bit of a period of time now where we can make sure that process is correct and we take the right decision.
You're obviously in charge of recruitment for all the players as well, but is the head coach the biggest sort of decision you'll make this summer? I mean, it's only a year ago you did it for the first time and that turned out not to be the right man for the job on this occasion. So it's sort of big for the football club, big for you as well.
It is. And look, ultimately I'm accountable for that. There's no one more disappointed than me with how it played out with Johannes. But yeah, in terms of magnitude of decision, of course, a head coach in any football club is arguably the most important hire that you'll make. So yes, and we'll make sure that we give it absolutely due attention and make sure that our process leaves no stone unturned.
And as far as the kind of target for your recruitment, and we'll talk about specific players in just a second, does everything remain the same? I mean, that's the great thing about having a sporting director who is in charge of that and the kind of ethos of the club going forward. I guess just because Johannes Hoftorp has left the club, actually your sort of profile of players and what you want to get through the door remains the same.
100%. Our strategy never was and never will be a person. It's not a head coach, it's not me. Our strategy is based around organisational principles that we want to move towards, around player development and player trading and playing in a certain way, and those things remain. So yes, whilst the head coach may be plugged out and plugged in, nothing changes in terms of our broader direction and what we're trying to do here.
And as far as recruitment is concerned, how much time, and I guess it will change depending on which players stay and which ones go, how much do you have to change how you look at building your squad? Because while the figures and the stats show you were fantastic going forward this year, defensively you were really lacking.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. We're constantly reflecting on how the team's performing, how players are performing, what we think we need. So those conversations are always ongoing. I think that structurally there were things that we could have done a lot better as well. So I don't think it's necessarily a case of saying, we perform poorly, so we need better players in this area. I think we can work in a better way and utilise them in a far better way as well. And look, I think we've got an incredibly talented squad here. And that's why there's so much frustration about this season, because, as I said at the top, I really think we could have done something, and there's nothing that's happened this year. And also when I look at the teams that did make it, it just confirms that kind of belief in me. So yeah, look, recruitment's huge. It'll be another big summer as it is, but we're ready for it.
I think this is the first interview that's gone a few minutes in without mentioning Borja Sainz or Josh Sargent this close into the start of an interview. That's who fans are interested in. I mean, are they going to be Norwich players next season, do you think?
Look, I can't give a clear answer on that. I don't know. Ultimately the situation with both is clear. Two fantastic players who had great seasons, two of the top scorers in the league. Big interest in those players. That's always going to be the case when you've got good players. So let's see. There's a lot of interest. So we expect approaches, but I think as we've demonstrated both historically and since I've been here at the club, we can sell players effectively, and ultimately for us to get to that point, it has to be a proposition that works for us as well as the player, and all parties have to get to that place. So ultimately, until that point, they remain here. But let's see how the summer evolves.
Obviously, those people are interested in the American ownership and how that affects things. I won't say changing things, because they've been here a while now. How has their money and influence and resources, how is that going to help Norwich this summer?
Yeah, massively. Look, they're so engaged. I speak with Mark and with Richard literally weekly. They're a great support, and we're hugely fortunate to have them. And of course, the resource that they have allows us a little bit more flexibility in some of the decisions that we may or may not make at certain points. So again, that's probably one of the reasons why we can make sure that we can get good outcomes for our club, because ultimately if they're not, then we're also happy to say, okay, let's carry on.
You're probably going to have to find some money for a goalkeeper this summer. Angus Gunn has left. He was a man that the club paid good money for several years ago and has been a really good servant. how difficult was the decision to not give Gunny a new contract?
Yeah, it was. Listen, he's a huge part of this club, a massive history here. He was so well liked and loved, both internally and, of course, by the fans. So, yeah, always a difficult decision, but ultimately it was one that we felt was the right one for us and to try and move forward in a different way. But, yeah, I think as a club we did a really good job of giving him the kind of send-off that he deserves. I think it was a lovely moment when that subs board went up against Cardiff and he could, yeah, take the applause and adulation from the crowd. And as I said, everything that he's delivered here, he deserves that. He's been a huge part of the club and he'll always be welcome back.
Was there ever a conversation about retaining him, about discussions about what either side could do to make that sort of a goer?
So I spoke with Angus's agent at the turn of the year. We had a conversation at that point where I said, look, we're not in a position to offer anything at this point in time. We're still considering, but we understand the risk that comes with. You know, Angus at that point could agree to go elsewhere. We were prepared to take that risk and that I would be in touch towards the end of the season with where we were at, and that was how it played out.
I mean, every summer feels like a big summer. As far as the ones you've been part of, I mean, there's been two, isn't there? But as far as ones you've been in football, how big a transitional summer is this for Norwich City? Because this season has felt like it's been a bit of a decline, I mean, purely by the league table. If you look at that, and you've had to sack your head coach, it feels like this could be a really huge summer for the club.
Listen, every summer is important, but of course, with that context, yeah, it is. There's no shying away from that. We understand that. We're prepared for that. We're confident with what we can do. As I said, we've got a great squad of players. We'll identify others that we want to bring as well, and we're excited by it. It's an opportunity as well for us to really get back on track where we want to be. And as I said, we've got aggressive targets that we're sort of hell-bent on moving towards. And that was why we weren't comfortable just to kind of tread water and accept the decline that we were seeing. We wanted to take action and we did. And we're excited by the opportunities that creates going into summer.
That's all, thank you.
And recruiting is obviously a key thing for you. But will player sales dictate what you do in terms of bringing people in?
Not completely, no. Of course, it's always a factor. You know, we're a business at the end of the day, so we need to make sure that things balance. But, you know, we're not completely bound by having to sell players before we can do anything. It's not a situation like that. But, of course, it's a factor. And, you know, we work multiple windows in advance where you try to model what may or may not happen and what that might mean for your strategy. So, yeah, that's normal. That's the same with any club going into any summer, I would say.
Yeah, and talking about Jurasek, you said earlier on it would be hopefully like having a new signing when it comes to the start of pre-season. What's the stage of his development at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's been a hugely frustrating situation with Maciej, and nobody's more upset and frustrated about that than him. He works so hard every day and it's been difficult. There's no hiding away from that. He's in a good place right now. He's pain-free, he's training, he's doing some good work, and we've got a clear plan for him over the summer where he'll be in a really good place come day one of pre-season. And like you said, yeah, the perverse kind of silver lining is that it will feel like a new signing. And this is an incredibly talented football player. This is, you know, Maciej is going to be a huge player for this club. So we're super excited to have him.
And will the loan system be something that you'll exploit, or do you want to get players which you can call your own?
It'll definitely be a market that we're across. Obviously, I think we utilised it quite well this last season as well. So it's definitely a market that we'll look at. We're never going to be a club that is reliant on that, because, of course, we want to develop our own players and assets for the organisation, but it's definitely a market that you have to be alive to. I think it'd be foolish to just be closed off to it, because it can allow you access to a talent pool that you might otherwise not be able to access. So yeah, in the right moment for a particular need in the squad, then absolutely it's something that we'll be across.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben, can I just loop you back around if I can, back to the Jack Wiltshire decision? Is it safe to say you'll have had your criteria probably at this stage? Is the maybe lack of senior coaching experience come into play?
Yes. yeah, there's no getting away from that, Paddy. Like I said, Jack is incredibly talented. There's no doubt for me that he will be a top head coach. He's hungry, he's ambitious. Everything that we've seen from him since we've been here would suggest that he will get to that place. But yeah, just for our context and where we're at and where he's at in his journey, yeah, I just didn't feel that this was that particular moment in time.
I mean, you've spoken again in this round of interviews, you know, the close relationship you two have going back to your Arsenal days. Very difficult conversation for you to have had. What was his reaction? Clearly disappointed, because he made no secret that he felt he was ready for this.
Exactly, of course. Like I said, he's somebody that's got big self-belief, and he should, because of his level of talent and how passionate he is about the game. So of course he was disappointed, and it was difficult, because like you said, there's a different dynamic to the relationship that Jack and I have. There's obviously the professional piece, but there's the personal piece as well. We've got a big history together, and it was difficult, because of course, you know, I'm human as well, and you have those emotional, romantic, you know, thoughts, but the reality is my job is to sort of separate away from those and make what I think is the best decision for the football club, and that was what I did.
With Jack, though, specifically, clearly he is here. You brought him in as a club to be first team coach. That's his status at the minute. So is there a conversation that needs to be had because of that? Because he maybe feels, okay, I'm ready now. If it's not going to be here, could he potentially leave this summer?
Yeah, look, Jack and I need to work through that. So, like you said, that conversation has not happened yet. We'll work through that in the coming days, and ultimately find a solution that's right for everyone. And we need to discuss that and go through it for sure.
Moving it on to the actual process now. As you say, you're underway. You hope to have that well in place by the start of pre-season. I guess your phone hasn't stopped ringing. You know, give us a sense of, you know, the sort of any surprise, because you will do your due diligence and you'll be looking, but I'm sure you've had a lot of coming back the other way, you know, agents or what have you. So has it been quite surprising, the level of interest maybe?
No, because this is a fantastic football club. Like, it's never a surprise to me. I going through this process last summer as well, you realise the pull that this place has, and rightly so. It's a fantastic club, fantastic infrastructure, great support base, in a fantastic league, great owners with big aspirations. Yeah, of course, this is going to attract interest from all over the world, which is great for us, because, yeah, it gives us a bigger candidate pool. It allows us to hopefully land on somebody that we think can be a really good fit, but yeah, never a surprise, because it's a great place to be.
And talking about last season's process that ultimately led to Johannes being appointed, will you now, given that hasn't worked out clearly, have to take other factors in play or attach more weight or less weight to some of the criteria that led you to Johannes? I'm thinking specifically maybe in terms of overseas coaching.
Yeah, I think it's natural that you, of course, with any process, you know, you go through and then whether it works or it doesn't, you have to reflect and ultimately take learnings from that into subsequent processes. That's a normal process that we go through here daily in lots of areas of our football operation. So that'll be the same here. But as well, I think it's important not to fall into the trap of overcorrecting and kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying that was all wrong and now we need to pivot hard to a completely different profile. That's not where we're going to be. We're clear about the kind of profile that we want here. I don't imagine that it's going to waver too far from that. But of course, we have to learn and reflect and think about where we can improve and place more or less emphasis on certain things. But it won't be a huge sea change.
When you talk about learning and reflections, you will be well aware that externally people are looking at you. This was your call to bring in Johannes. It was an exhaustive search. We know how long you wanted to try and bring that guy in, as well as talking to other candidates. Does your judgment get called into question now that 10, 11 months into your relationship, you had to dissolve that partnership?
Yes. Yeah, I have to own that and be accountable for that. And I am. And I think, yeah, look, there's never any guarantees, right? It's the same whether you sign a player or you sign a coach. You know, there's a process that you can go through to try to manage risk, but you never know with certainty whether something is going to work or it's not. And sometimes on paper, something can look, a fantastic fit, and it just doesn't play out that way. But yeah, that's just how it goes sometimes, and you have to accept that. And as I said, focus on where can we learn, where can we reflect, and where can we make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Do you feel there's any extra pressure on you now? Because as you say, you're back here again 12 months on, in terms of getting this appointment clearly has to be right for the next mid to longer term.
Yes, I would say, but also it's, you know, it's exciting. Like I see it as an opportunity. You know, ultimately we've started out on a path. You know, that journey is underway. We didn't feel like we were making progress in the way that we wanted to, and this gives us a chance now to change that and to get back on track. So, yeah, of course, there's increased pressure. That's natural when something maybe hasn't quite worked, but it's also seeing that as an opportunity, and I'm excited by that, and we all are here. It's an important summer, but it's one that we're all looking forward to.
Yeah, and appreciate we're here to obviously look forward now, but just a couple more reflections on the Johannes end game, really. I mean, how quickly did that accelerate? Was there a tipping point? Was it a batch of games? Was it the games and other things that you were seeing in and around the environment here at the training ground?
Yes, it was something that, yeah, I think was gathering pace for a while. Everyone can see, you know, just through one of those lenses of results, people can see that was clear from, you know, pretty much from February onwards, we were really struggling. But as I said, that's not the only lens through which we made this decision. There were others, and again, I think it was clear. You know, Paddy, you watch all the games as well, and you could see our performance as the season progressed was ultimately going in the wrong direction. When you think of our best performances, our best displays, even on an individual level as well, you think of probably earlier on in the season, and unfortunately, as time progressed, those things regressed, and so it had been building for a while. But yeah, that was ultimately how it played out, and particularly I think it started to accelerate towards the end. You know, you saw particularly Portsmouth at home, Millwall away were really difficult to watch, and ultimately by that point it was clear to me that we needed to take action.
Well, you've been very strong in this touch point today, Ben, about there was absolutely no blurring of the alignment in terms of the key positions as you got the football operation at the football club between yourselves, the executive, Mark and Richard and his team, and obviously and crucially Johannes and Glenn. But it is very clear that he feels, on the basis of that Danish sort of media that he did after departing, that maybe the communication wasn't specifically this must be top six this season. Can you understand, as a fan, that feels like mixed messages externally when you're looking at your football club, that you've got effectively the previous head coach and his assistant not on the same page as others?
Yeah, to a point. But I think as well, you know, ultimately, you have to think of the context. You know, people have lost their jobs, they're hurting. It's natural. They're probably in an emotional state. I get that. It's normal. But as I said, I think, it was clear. Not just myself, was on record many times talking about top six being the target. So I don't think there was any ambiguity externally, and there certainly was no ambiguity internally. It was crystal clear from the start. And to just reaffirm, Paddy, we didn't take the decision that we took because we weren't in the top six. Like that's just not how it was. You know, if anyone thinks for a minute that, you know, if we'd have finished 7th, 8th, 10th or even 13th, but we were moving forward, the team was growing and looking stronger, players were looking more confident and improving and developing, if anyone thinks that we'd have made this decision with that context, then they'd be mistaken. That's not the case. But ultimately, those things weren't happening, and it created a picture that ultimately was pretty damning when you consider what we're trying to achieve and the scale of our ambitions and where we want to get to. We couldn't continue in that way.
And as you say, that ambition, the first test of that now is this upcoming summer transfer. When you've spoken about Sargent, you've spoken about science, and that there clearly will be, you expect interest and approaches. Just ask you about Nunes, because he's a bit like science in a similar contractual status, you know, going into his final 12 months. How do you see that one playing out?
Again, I don't have a crystal ball. It's difficult for me to say this is going to happen or that. Of course, we need to see how the summer plays out. Nacho is a player that we love. We want him to stay here. But of course, you know, it depends what interest there is and at what level, and then a decision will be made. So it's hard for me to give super clarity on that, Paddy. But yeah, we want Nacho to be here.
And on that point as well, because do you feel it would be important? And again, we're in hypothetical, so I appreciate you can't really definitively talk about it. But if there was a world this summer where you've lost Science, you've lost Sargent, you've lost Nunes, as a fan base, you're probably looking at thinking, really, that's three of our key frontline players, and we know the model, we know the strategy is about player turnover, but it's also about having a top six competitive team and squad. And it maybe would feel you lose three players of that caliber, proven at this level, that you're almost resetting the clock a little bit. I mean, that is that something you're mindful of, the optics of that?
Yeah, I think so, because we're ambitious as well. Like like I said, we want to create a team that can compete at the top end of this league. So of course, but that's a natural position as well for any team that's got good players. You're always going to face that. And like I said, there's another dynamic you have to consider, which is the player perspective. You know, we understand where we sit in the broader kind of landscape, and that has to be a factor in what happens as well. You know, if a player gets a fantastic opportunity to go and play, you know, in the Premier League or in a Champions League level, and a club steps forward with a proposal that is of a requisite level, then you have to be reasonable as well. So that's just a dynamic that all clubs face when you've got good players and a good squad. So you have to walk towards that challenge and know that that's just part of the process. But I think what this club has always shown, and particularly the new owners, is we are a club that trades. I think when clubs use that phrase of player trading, often it just means player selling and maybe then reinvesting a very small proportion of that into transfer fees. We've shown in the last two windows that we will go and target really high quality players and pay substantial transfer fees, and that's something that we would do again if that situation was to present itself.
And to take that thread and run with it, I don't think anybody would dispute Jacob Wright has been a fantastic piece of business, judging by what he's shown just in his first 6 months here. Would you hope that's a deal you could be able to conclude successfully?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, he's been fantastic. You guys have seen all the games, the impact that he's made. He's grown continually since he's been here. But I think the thing I would say about Jacob as well is it's what he brings day to day and generally. And even at the games, you would have heard him on the pitch. We're talking here about a young man who, you know, from an experience in senior football point of view, he's at the very start of his journey. But you would never think that from the way that he carries himself, the way that he approaches his work day to day. He's got huge leadership potential, and yeah, look, of course we're in a really good place with that, so I hope to have some news for you on that in the not too distant future.
Good news. Staying on the theme of Man City loanees, any world Callum Doyle comes back?
Look, I think it'd be difficult. He's a fantastic player, he's been brilliant for us here. Everyone's loved working with him. There's no better sight than seeing Callum wrapping passes into the pocket or breaking lines on the outside in the way that he does. He's a top player. But ultimately, yeah, I think it will be difficult to retain his services in some capacity. But whatever's next for him, we absolutely wish him well.
Yeah, and just staying on the theme, Lewis Dobbin, obviously, I think it was frustrating for everybody because he was just starting to show his impact, got the injury, season over. Is there a scenario that he could potentially come back this summer?
Possibly. It's something that we're looking at. There have been conversations. It's still ongoing. So TBC which way that falls, but it's definitely something that we're looking at. He's a player that, again, made a good impact here. Came in and really slotted well into our environment, and I think was producing some really good, consistent performances that helped us a lot. So, yeah, he's a player that we really like, and let's see how it develops. But at the moment, TBC, which way that lands.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, the window more generally, you've talked again, we know, it doesn't really need stating that it's the strategy is driven by younger players with a higher ceiling, maybe short-term improve, you know, your team, and then, you know, as we've seen with the Zaras of this world and et al, and we'll see it this summer, clearly, you know, you move them on again. But within that, you clearly have a mind that you need experience, and experience is a bit of a catch-all label, but you need players who've maybe been around a little bit. Is that fair? And maybe even the championship element of that going into your summer recruitment?
Yeah, it's definitely fair, and it's something that is absolutely always on our mind. I think sometimes, yeah, age and experience can get convoluted. So I think that's something that we always consider. There's somebody's actual age, and then there's their football age. So those two things can be different. And also personality and leadership behaviours as well. Because as we said with Jacob, we're talking there about a very young man, but he exhibits a really good influence on the group. And by the way, that will only grow. So yeah, it's not always as simple as to say players that are older can provide all of those things that we need. But of course, it's definitely something that, that is in our mind. Yes.
Yeah. You've obviously been asked about Angus and that situation. You've explained it, the reasoning from the club side why you've made that decision. But in terms of, I'm just interested, what did you think of his comments post Cardiff? Because effectively, he was saying he preferred that clarity. He only had a 2-minute conversation with you. Is that a little bit disappointing from your point of view?
I was a little bit surprised by it because, look, ultimately conversations of that nature, that you know, they don't take hours and hours. It's ultimately delivering a position, a clear position of where we were at, and it was a really positive discussion. It was completely amicable. We ended with a big high five or an embrace from memory, and yeah, I think as a club we gave him a fantastic send off, and from my perspective it was a really fitting tribute to someone that's contributed a lot. So yeah, I was taken aback a little bit because Angus never expressed any of that to me. But yeah, I think ultimately as a club we did a really good job of seeing him off.
I mean, it's probably unfair, but clearly Angus is talking around maybe the way that decision was communicated. You know, Johannes has talked post leaving about maybe he felt the communication started to decline a bit. You know, is that a criticism that can be levelled at you or the senior people in this club about communication?
No. As far as I'm concerned, not at all. Look, I think, yeah, whenever situations don't play out maybe how people like it, of course there's going to be some feeling there of being unhappy about something. But from our perspective, no, I think we do a really good job of communicating, both internally and externally. So, yeah, I would definitely reject that.
Appreciate you don't want to be sat here all day talking to the likes of me. So we'll move on now towards the end. But just one on the season in terms of when you debrief that, when you audit it. Externally, again, you know, there will be a feeling that one area you will have to look at as a club is rehabbing of injuries, diagnosis, you know, how you recover players. Is that something you're mindful of? Do you reject that kind of inference that you need to get under the bonnet of the people and the processes and how you look after players and how you get them on the pitch and performing?
No, I definitely don't reject it. We always have to look at how we can be better. Yeah, even if we'd have had a fantastic season from an availability perspective, we'd still be going through processes where we say, okay, how can we be even better at that? The reality is we didn't have that season. We did have a season where we were frustrated by availability. It caused us problems. I think it's important to note just how complex the whole world of injuries and injury risk management is. You know, you only have to look industry-wide. Hamstring injuries are on the rise in football generally. So this isn't just a Norwich City issue. This is, across the whole industry. But yeah, the truth is, we've picked up injuries this year where we were unlucky, but we've also picked up injuries this year where we can do better and maybe we pushed too hard and we paid the price for that. We've got fantastic staff here, fantastic resource, people that really care and literally do everything that they can to try and manage those situations. But the truth is it's complex, that it's multifaceted. It's never so binary as, you know, this player did X number of meters and that's what led to them getting injured. There's lots of situations that can contribute. The players, you know, emotional state, what's happening in their private life, how well they slept, all of those things, as well as, of course, load management and team selection and the tactical periodization model of the coach. So there's lots of different things that go into it. But yeah, we've got staff here that, yeah, of course, are reflecting a lot and want to have a better season next season. And we've conducted a big audit of that. And there's interventions that we'll put in place to try and improve that.
And on that final point, and let's leave it there, looking further forward, you know, you're sat here now, I think, it will take a month or two. You've probably been in the job 18 months. Probably feels like 18 years at times. But where are you now? You've obviously had, you know, at points quite a turbulent period to deal with. But is the strategy where it needs to be? Are you behind the curve now? Do you need to accelerate it? If you were holistically looking at it, where do you feel you are now with you having been here at the helm 18 months?
Look, I think we've done a lot of good things in terms of players that we've brought to the club. We've got a super talented squad. So in that respect, I think we've done loads of really good work. There's lots of good stuff been done more broadly around the club as well. But the reality is the reason we've made the change that we've made is because we didn't feel we were progressing on the pitch with the men's first team in the way that we want. So in that sense, yeah, the reality is we're behind that curve. That's why we've made this decision. And And ultimately, it's all centered around trying to course correct and get ourselves back on where we need to be. And yeah, there's nothing that makes me think we can't do that. And that's why we wanted to make this change now, so that we've got the time, a summer, a pre-season, to be able to do that and make sure that, yeah, come what may, when that season starts for the 25-26 championship campaign, we're where we need to be and ready to attack and in the place where we're back on track.
Wish you well, Ben. Thanks for your time. Cheers.
Thanks. Thank you.